Welcome to the refreshing moment brought to you by Streams of Joy International.
Good evening and welcome to the refreshing moment brought to you by Streams of Joy International. I'm your regular host, Pastor Professor Osla Akawa. Last week I started this discourse on divorce, and I want to continue today. We took our text from the book of Malachi chapter 2. Today, I am reading from verses 13 to 16. I will start with the King James translation and I will look at other translations. And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with crying, insomuch that he regarded not the offerings anymore, or received it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had residue of the spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. The last time I read from the Easy to Read translation, and I want to read from there again. Easy English Bible. And it says, and you weep so much that your tears cover the Lord's altar. You cry because the Lord no longer accepts your gifts. He is not happy with the gifts that you offer to him. You ask, why is the Lord not happy with our gifts? The Lord knows that you men have not done the right thing with your wives. When you married as a young man, you promised to take care of your wife always. But you have sent her away when the Lord says that you must stay with her as your wife. The Lord has joined you together as man with his wife. Your body and your spirit belong to him. Why did God put you together? He wanted you to have children who will belong to him. So think carefully about how you live. Do not leave the wife you married when you were a young man. The Lord God of Israel says this: if a man sends his wife away from him, I hate that. He has been cruel to his wife when he should take care of her. So be very careful. Remember your promise to take care of your wife. That is what the Lord always says. And like I said, today let me read the Passion Translation. Another thing you do, you drown Yahweh's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer values your offerings or accepts with pleasure what you bring him. Why not, you ask? It is because you promised before Yahweh to be faithful to your wife you chose in your youth. She is your partner and you are bound to her by covenant. Yet you have betrayed her. Has God not made them one with a shared spirit in their union? And what does he desire but godly children from your union? So guard your spirit and do not be disloyal to the wife of your youth. I, Yahweh, the God of Israel, said to you, he who does not love his wife but hates her and divorces her, overwhelms her with cruelty. So guard your spirit and do not abandon her. This is Yahweh, commander of angel armies, speaking to you. Lastly, but not the least, I want to read the Message translation. I love it so much. And here comes a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you have broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your avowed companion, your covenant wife, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. I hate divorce, says the Lord of Israel. God of the angel army says, I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves. Don't let your guards down. don't cheat. Today, I want to again look at the causes of divorce. There are actually several causes. Couples complain about one thing or the other, it is this, it is that. But I want to look at the issue of cheat. Cheat. Say, do not cheat your spouse. Cheating. You know, when I say cheating, the first thing that comes to the mind of people is sexual cheating, that is unfaithfulness. I'm not just looking at cheating in terms of unfaithfulness. I'm looking at cheating in terms of dishonesty. You know, if somebody says, I want to marry a woman, the man is looking at somebody he can trust. If a woman says, I want to accept the love of a man, she is also looking for somebody she can trust. So one of the things that strengthen marriage is trust. Marriage is built on trust. Marriage is not built on perfection. You'll be making a mistake if you are thinking that your spouse will be perfect, that he's going to do everything well, she's going to do everything well, then you are making the person God. So we as human beings, we have our own faults, we have our own weaknesses. We are not infallible. It's only God that is infallible. And because it's only God that is infallible, it's only God that can actually, you know, not make a mistake. So as human beings, we make mistakes. But the truth of the matter is that I am looking at cheating. And what do I mean by cheating? I mean dishonesty. I mean people not keeping to what they said or not living out who they say they are. Let's take, for example, let's look at financial cheating. You make your money, your wife makes her money, their husband makes his money, and the two of you cannot actually understand what is happening with the finances. It is either that if the woman is told how much the husband makes, she starts making unnecessary demands, and so the man tries to hide it. Or the woman is making more money and does not want the man to know that she's making more money, and so she hides it. But you do things, or you go and buy a house, your husband does not know that you have bought a house. Or you go and buy a house, your wife does not know. Maybe you buy it in your brother's name, or you buy it in your sister's name, and you are not being truthful. You are not being honest in this relationship. It's one of the things that create problems. Because if you people agreed to come together, I am not a stickler. I'm not saying you should put your money together. That's not what I'm saying. But we must have a level of accountability. We must be accountable to our spouses. Whether it's the man or the woman, there's a level of accountability. The man should be able to know who you are. The man should be able to know where you are. For some of us, our spouses, we leave the house, they don't know where we are. A man called me 2 days ago and said, my wife traveled and I do not know where she went to. And she left town and the husband does not know that she left town. It's an error that must be corrected. Because you're being dishonest. The man should be able to account for your presence where you are. If you are going somewhere, if you tell him, is he going to stop you? Is he going to tie you up? But some of us, you know, are stupidly secretive. But if the Bible says the two of you shall come together and that it is not good for the man to be alone, why are you creating loneliness? You're creating loneliness by not being truthful. You're creating loneliness by not allowing the person to know what you're doing. The person cannot actually account for your life. So the person doesn't know where you are per time. The person doesn't know what you do per time. The person doesn't know even the challenges you have. You can share it with other outsiders, but you cannot share with your spouse. It's possible that if you share, he will take it up on you. For some people, they say, if I say what is happening with me, the man is going to begin to abuse me. The woman is going to begin to abuse me. She's going to begin to tell me things that are not right. If you are in that if your husband is vulnerable where you are, you take it up on him, you're not doing the right thing. If your wife is vulnerable where you are, you say, I know now, I think this thing started when you were born. You have never ever learned to do this. You don't know how to cook. Even your mother told me that when she said you should learn how to cook, you refused. And all that. So this makes people not to come out fully. into their marriage. And the moment people begin to feel that something is wrong somewhere, I cannot trust this person, I don't know where the person is. Somebody came to my house to do some electrical work for me. And somebody called him and said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm in my shop now." He said, "I'm in my shop." The person said, "Your shop, I'm in your shop." He said, "Look well, you will see me." And I said to him, "Oga, you're not in your shop. Why are you telling this man that you're in your shop?" And that's the same thing. If it was his wife that called him, he would have also said the same thing. "I'm in my shop." And maybe the woman comes there to see you. What is wrong with your saying, "I went somewhere to do some work"? Nothing will happen. Nobody will kill you. We should be able to get to the point where your spouse should be able to trust you. And then your spouse gives you money to keep for him or to keep for her, and you spend it. And the person tells you, "What happened with the money?" Say, "So is it because you gave me money? Is it because you gave me money, you now want me to account for the money? If I don't account, that don't insult me. If it is the man, you say, you're not insulting me. If it is the woman will say, your fellow men give their wives money and they don't ask them for it." Do you know what he planned to? He didn't plan to give you that money. He wanted to use it for something. And if he wants you to keep it for him, it is something. Keep it. When he wants it, give it back to him. The money is not your own. And it's the same thing, whether for the woman or for the man, we must be accountable. And then the last one is the fidelity of your body. You made a promise with my body, I do wed. I will give you everything. And I will be faithful unto you until death do us part. But you have a chain of boyfriends or chain of girlfriends. Whether it is boy or girl or whatever, as long as you are not keeping the marriage bed. The Bible says marriage, the bed is undefiled, is honorable in all. The bed undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So why wouldn't you honor the sanctity, the purity of the marriage bed? You are the person that said, "This is the person." You saw all the people, all the women. You should have stayed unmarried so that you'll be jumping from A to B, from B to C, from C to K, or from K, so that when you get the things that surround it, you will die. But you now went to go and settle with somebody, and now some people will starve their spouses of and they give it to other people. That is not so right. Some people are there in the house and they are not. The Bible says you shouldn't even stay away unless you have agreed. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. So it's a conjugal responsibility. So you cannot give it to another person and you will not give to your spouse. Or you use it to settle scores. You say, if you want me to have with you, you give me money. Because you're now trading your body. You're not trading your body. That is, the Bible says your body is not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. The body is, the moment you get married, the body now belongs to the man and the body now belongs to the woman if you are a man. And so you must not defraud one another. It is clearly written in the Bible. So why are we doing it? Why are we unfaithful? Why are we cheating? And God says, when you do that, I will no longer answer your prayers. And you are crying, "My prayer, I applied for that thing. It did not work. I did that one. It did not work." I'm not saying that the reason for failure is because of this, but the Bible has recorded it can be one of it. So all I'm saying this evening is that God will help us to be accountable people to our partners. Father, we thank you, praise, and we ask, oh God, that you help us. Help us to be accountable. Let the spirit of cheating leave us today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, faithful God, because we have answered us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to our services tomorrow at kilometer 1.2 Ikote Bene Road, Umahia. And our first service is at 8 a.m. The second service is at 9:30. And the third service is our singles church is at 2 p.m. And tomorrow the theme of our service is supernatural shift. And I know we are all looking for shifts. Shifts in our health, shifts in our finances, shifts in our career, shifts everywhere. And it is not by human effort. It is a supernatural shift. I hope to see you tomorrow because Jesus never ever misses our services. For what God cannot do does not exist. God bless you.
That was a refreshing moment with Pastor Professor Osla Akanwa, brought to you by Streams of Joy International. If you have a question or you need someone to talk to, please call the number 0802-7303-915. 0802-7303-915. Tune in every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. for another refreshing moment.